Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Jim, your phone is ringing.
Thank you, Patrick.
Hey, Jim, where are you going?
I'm going home, Patrick.
Is that it? Did I do that right?
That's right. Okay. Yeah, that was good.
You're out of your element, Patrick.
All right, so Patrick, we are in your basement.
Yes, we are, Jim.
But a little while ago, we were out in the wild, right?
Yeah,
we were
spotted, suburban wild.
Spotted in the wild. So we did Rock in the Suburbs live. We did a live show.
It was really cool.
Not that long ago. It was our first one in a while. And this one was at like a real honest-to-good music venue,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I know. It was weird. Yeah, I kept pinching myself. Am I supposed to be here? Like, am I actually going to get up on stage? But it was really fun.
Well, that time when you almost knocked over that guitar,
I was
a little bit nervous about that.
Yeah.
But you didn't.
I didn't.
That was good. All right,
it's close.
This show that you're listening to is Rockin' the Suburbs.
That's what it is.
I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And a week or so ago, we were at a local venue here in Northern Virginia called Jammin' Java.
Jammin' Java.
Which, despite its name, is not just a coffee house.
No.
It is a full-fledged bar.
So much more.
And music venue. I assume it's named that because maybe that's how it started. Is
it
that,
did.
Is
yeah,
that the origin?
It was a tiny little coffee house, you know, like a throwback to the old like Greenwich Village days. And it's great now, you know. And they have a music school. They have a stage. They have good food. They have smoothies. You know, it's really incredible what they have, Jim.
It's a great place. It's actually one of my favorite venues to see bands.
Yeah, the sound is fantastic
in that room.
It really is.
It's really great.
Mm-hmm.
But it's out in the suburbs, and it's kind of far away from
it's
the district.
It's a strip mall.
And it's a little strip mall. It's kind of weird location.
Yeah.
And
it's next to a Walgreens. But to me, that's what makes it cool.
That's what makes it cool.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. We love the people who run it. We love the venue.
Yeah.
Everything about it is great.
Great, man.
And they tend to get a lot of up-and-coming artists who play there. So if you want to go see a good show and get right up close to somebody who someday might be really big and famous, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they have some pretty well-known acts there, too. A lot of times doing some solo stuff. Like, I think, Marshall Crenshaw plays there. Stuff like that. So it's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great place. So we were there because this folk singer named Matt Holubowski from Montreal was making his U.S. tour debut.
So
and
cool.
His stop in the D.C. area was at Jammin' Java. And we got turned on to him through his publicist who pitched Matt to us by saying that he had some connection to Robert Smith. So that sounded interesting. And then and it wasn't just his hair. And then we and then we listened to his stuff and we liked it.
We liked it.
And so we said, let's try something a little different. Instead of interviewing him before the show backstage like we normally do, let's interview him after the show on stage in front of the peoples. And they went for that, and the venue went for that, and
it's
we
cool.
did it, right?
Yeah, it's great.
That's how it worked.
I loved it.
And it was really fun. So,
yeah.
And not only did we interview Matt, but he also played then some songs, some solo acoustic songs. He, for his normal set that night, had a backing band, four-piece backing band. But he did some solo acoustic stuff for the podcast, and the listeners are going to get to hear that. We recorded
it's amazing.
All that. It's great.
Sounded great and sounded really good on stage, too. We get to hear it through the monitors, which is nice.
And speaking of recording, let me give a shout-out to Lucas, who was the sound guy there at Jammin' Java.
Mm-hmm.
And he volunteered to handle all of the sound and recording and everything for us, and so we appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. And one thing I should mention before we start the interview here is that normally we tend to bleep out profanities and things like that on the show, but I'm going to let them slide on this one. This one's going to have a little E next to the episode, just because you'll hear. So don't be alarmed, but if you do have like little kids in the car or anything like that, maybe listen to this one a little bit later on your own. All right.
Well, what the fuck is that supposed to be?
All right, let's get to Matt. Hello, Jammin' Java.
Hello. Jammin' Java.
Let's hear ya. All right.
Yeah.
Can
we
get are
some
here
people to hold these people back from the stage?
I know. Yeah, hold them back.
Security.
We're here on Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we are here at Jammin' Java in Vienna, Virginia, right after the amazing set performed by Matt Holubowski.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to talk with Matt on the show.
Hello.
Hey, man. Thank you.
How you doing?
Good. Very good.
Are you surviving the stormy weather?
It's really sunny out. I don't know what you're talking about.
I've never seen so many pedals, Matt, for like two guitar players. This is amazing.
Well, you know, we have more. We only have this much space on the board, so this is as much. We actually cut down our gear quite significantly, believe it or not.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's the full band tonight.
Well, you had to get through customs.
Yeah, we actually have to do this whole this thing called an ATA carnet, where you have to fill out every piece of gear that you bring with a description and how much it costs. And if you get caught leaving with something less or something more, then you're essentially... Can we swear on this podcast?
Yeah, go ahead.
We're fucked.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we have to note everything. And you know, we're musicians, so we were like usually drunk and we forget things. So when we got to the border, we're like, oh, I didn't bring this guitar and I didn't bring this guitar. And you try to remember like what gear you forgot to bring. And so we almost got in trouble, but I think they looked at us and they figured that we're innocent looking enough.
Yeah. They're definitely musicians.
Yeah. They're definitely Canadian. Right. Yeah.
So you are from Montreal.
Yeah.
Great White North.
That's right.
And
oh, this is where it begins.
Yeah. And
this is the deep south, right?
The middle south.
Middle south, yeah. Okay.
And, well, before we get going more into your story, why don't we hear you play a little bit?
Sure.
What would you like to play for us?
Let me do a tune from my first record. So we'll start. We'll do it chronologically, maybe.
All right. Okay. Awesome.
It's a tune that I wrote off this record. Initially, the name of the artist that I wanted to be was Ogen, which is a whole story in itself. And then it evolved and it became my name, Matt Holubowski. And in that time, I wrote this record called Old Man, and it's generally just sort of a existential quest for who the hell I am. And at that time, I was an old man.
Cool. So you originally wanted to work under a different name.
Yeah.
Why was that?
I didn't think Matt Holubowski was cool or memorable. And it turns out it's cool, but it's not memorable, which makes it memorable in itself, because people always butcher it and they go like, oh, what was that Blublowski guy? You know, he was all right.
Right.
So it becomes memorable in its indecipherableness. So,
have you ever been called the Big Holubowski?
Yeah, I have. Yeah,
all right.
And I actually love it. That's the best reference. So yeah, this is a song called "Old Man," and I'm sort of a bit of a tip off to that classic lyric. I was so much older then. I'm younger than that now. What are you holding on to? The endless range of tyranny. We all age with no say on change. So be graceful. But do it your own way. What is it that frightens you? Is it all the things you never got to do? We all age with no say on change. So be graceful, man. Do it your own way.
Sweet, man.
All right.
Thank you.
That was great. So, how old were you when you wrote that song?
I think I was 20 or 21.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I read that you describe yourself as a young man making old music.
Yeah. I guess so. I guess that's kind of evolved. I should probably change that bio. I wrote that a long time ago.
Yeah. Update your LinkedIn, please, Matt.
It's actually funny you say that because I looked at my LinkedIn for the first time recently. You don't need a LinkedIn when you're a musician, it turns out. I looked at that recently, and I remembered the last time that I filled it out was before I started doing music, and I wanted to be an English teacher at that time. And I failed at that. But at that period, I had this other sort of phenomenal life goal, which was to travel to 30 countries before I turned 30. And so I looked at that recently, and I was like, "Yeah, that was
pretty good.
It was a cool dream."
Yeah. I want to ask you, Matt, about the endings to your songs. I noticed in the set tonight that they were kind of abrupt. You know, the songs were kind of swirling and continuing, and then suddenly they would kind of pull up. Is that conscious or?
I never realized
just like
that.
I'm done with this. I got to move on.
Yeah. To I got shit to do. This is the first time I've ever heard of that.
Did you notice that, Jim?
That they end abruptly.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was interesting. They were kind of, you know, you were grooving along there, and at times they would just kind of end, you know, fairly abruptly.
I think that makes sense. I'm kind of like I'm like a goldfish. I have all these thoughts that sort of pop in and out, and I get distracted very easily. So I guess that probably makes sense. Where I'm like, the song should just end. I gotta go do something else or something. I don't know. But that's a good observation.
Yeah.
I want to talk with you about your friendship with Robert Smith.
Oh,
right. Right.
Yeah.
He's a fan of yours, right?
Apparently, I haven't met him, but
oh, okay.
He liked me enough, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. So what is the connection there? Robert Smith of The Cure, of course.
It was a super random thing. I received an email from Robert Smith of The Cure, as one does. And and he said, would you kindly come to London to play this festival that I'm curating called the Meltdown Festival, which every year is curated by a different artist. And he just said, do you want to come play this sold-out show at Queen Elizabeth Hall in London? And I was like, let me think about it. Yeah, okay, I'll come. And his dressing room, he had a permanent dressing room in that hall next to mine. I don't know if he showed up.
Well,
he might have.
He had one.
But maybe he was there. That would be that's the closest I've been to Robert Smith of The Cure.
There. Okay. Did you compare like hair grooming tips at all? Matt has people won't hear this, won't see this on the podcast,
right.
But Matt's hair is amazing.
I'll
isn't
take
it, folks?
1/8 of Matt's you. Hair, and I'll be happy.
You know, I'm really grateful because I get the hair genes from my mother's side, and that that side gets to keep their hair.
Mm-hmm.
It turns white, but it's still gloriously and all over the place.
Yeah.
So, Matt, let me ask you about your guitar playing influences, because you don't use a pick, right? You do a lot of finger picking. You play a really warm, kind of reverberating acoustic style, which has some roots in, like, Fahey and, you know, old stuff like that. But what influenced you as a player, not necessarily as a songwriter?
It's a lot of different things. I don't really know what I'm doing most of the time. I can't read music or anything. So I'm self-taught. I learn about music through tabs online and YouTube tutorials and so on. And I guess the first influences that I had for guitar playing probably was Bob Dylan in terms of his finger picking style.
Mm-hmm.
I was playing some of his stuff just earlier, and I really love that. And then later in life, I play actually, and this guitar is in an open tuning, which it's open C. Mm-hmm. Or C sharp now, I guess. And I got that from Bon Iver.
Oh,
that's,
nice.
That's you know, an obvious, mm-hmm. you know, contemporary. But another one was Ben Howard, who plays a mean guitar, another contemporary. And yeah, I got a lot of it from Ben Howard, like a lot of the sort of percussive stuff. I didn't really listen to much of the older open tuning stuff. I guess like James Taylor might be another
mm-hmm.
Example. Tallest Man on Earth, another.
Oh yeah,
modern
absolutely.
Songwriter.
Yeah,
he's guy's this thing that comes from him.
Very much.
That comes
so.
From that Love Is All.
Yeah,
and he kind of does this like so that thing I kind of stole from him. Yeah. So a couple different sources.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very
contemporary. So Patrick is a guitarist. And I was wondering when the guitar talk was going to come out.
Yeah, that's right.
I was waiting.
Yeah.
You want to talk gear?
About like, do you want to ask about like G minor 7th augmented?
I did tell you that I don't. Right, yeah. I can't. No, I don't know. I don't know what any of that means.
No, I think Matt and I have taught the same way. Yeah. It's like ultimateguitar.com.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, what happens is I play. I create these songs with all these chords on this open tuning, and I just kind of do it. Sounds pretty, and I don't really know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I show the band like, hey, this is the new tune. What do you guys think? And they'll be like, okay, what are the chords? I'm like, oh, I don't know. You tell me.
Well, this is interesting to me because what thing I noticed watching your set with the full band is just how interested you guys are in sonics. That there's a lot of interesting little touches, little different things that the band does, different ways of playing. I mean, obviously all the pedals, all that kind of stuff. So is that a collaborative effort? Is everybody sort of bringing all of that into these arrangements that you do?
Yeah, 100%. That's why they're all here. It's like when we all met, and this is for the gear people, I had an acoustic guitar and a DI, and that was it. I didn't know what anything. I hardly knew what a DI was. I still, wow. I'm not completely sure.
Sounds good, though.
Yeah. And then with time, you know, Simon, who plays guitar, and Marc-André, who plays bass, are sort of the gear nerds, and Adam, who does the sound as well, and they're all super obsessed with tones and the right amps and the vintage this and that. And so we spend all of our days. We have like a WhatsApp gear thread where we like send each other reverb listings and so on. Of
it's pretty nerdy.
Cool. Yeah. It's very nerdy. So collectively, at this point, after 200 or so shows on this tour, we've collected a lot of shit, and it's cool because it evolves and it never stays the same. And you know there are those bands who will repeat the same song the same way as the record, and that's great. You know, you go see the Stones, you're gonna get what you expect, you know. And you go see other bands and it doesn't sound anything like the song that you know you came to love. And some people really hate that, and some people love it. And I'm one of those who love that. So that's what we do.
That's cool.
All right, we can't go any further without asking you this. You had to know this was coming, right?
Oh God!
Yeah. That in Canada, you became famous for being on TV, right?
Yeah.
It was the French Canadian version of the Voice, right? La voix.
Yeah.
Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Correctly.
Okay. That's right.
So, what was that experience like?
You know, it was what you would expect from a large corporate television show. It was, you know, it's really a tough thing to answer because I was young. I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. I thought I was going to be an English teacher. I actually lost a bet, and that's how I ended up doing it. like this drunken bet of like, they had invited me to come, and they do that. They sort of like headhunt people, and they found my first record, Old Man. And they said, this is pretty cool. Why don't you come? And I didn't know what it was at the time. I don't have a TV. So I looked it up and I was like, oh, it's kind of like American Idol. And so I said, thank you. I appreciate it. But no, thank you. It's not my thing. And they continued sort of badgering me for a while. And I had this discussion with my friends late at night one time. And they were like, oh, you should do it. It's going to be funny. We can all laugh at you. And that's what happened. So I went, and you know, thinking that I was gonna go and I you know, I was gonna do a Ray Lamo Tang song, and they were all gonna think that, you know, what's this weird stuff? You know, they're used to all this pop music, and I was pleasantly surprised. They liked it, and at that point, I had signed the contract, so I didn't have a choice but to go on. So yeah, it all worked out in the end because I got to do what I love doing, but it definitely was a difficult thing to live with as an artist, because it's like, that's as far as I think I could ever go to selling my soul. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad I did it nonetheless, because I wouldn't be here in Vienna, you know. I'm getting paid to do this, by the way.
Yeah.
So
at least somebody is.
So you know, it's like it's a good thing, not by you guys, but by the venue.
Yeah. I was gonna say.
Wait, no. But yeah, it was a whole thing. But yeah.
All right. So, speaking of getting paid, because we want to thank the people at Jam and Java for letting us
hell yeah
take the stage after the show. So please support them by buying another drink. All right,
yeah.
Everyone, get up there and do that.
Speaking of drinks,
and buy me another
drink.
Bring
me a beer.
Okay.
Yeah. No, just one more. Yeah. Thank you.
Two more.
Yeah.
So Matt's going to play another song here, and then we're going to either take audience questions or we're going to subject him to
The grab bag.
The bag of questions.
Yeah, let's do that.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
So, or some combination of the two. So what are we going to hear now, Matt?
I haven't done this one in a while. Is that going to sound good? We can take, I think, the guitar out of the monitor, and it'll be just great. This is a tune from my second record. Actually, I didn't think about this, but this works out. The first one was called Old Man, and that's the title of the record. And this one is called Solitudes, and that's the title of the second record. So, yeah, totally intentional. And this one is about that. It's based on this novel by Hugh MacLennan, which is a Montreal author who wrote this book called Two Solitudes, and it's about the strife, I guess, between the French and the English back home in Montreal. The city is actually literally divided east and west by Saint Laurent Street, if anybody's ever been, and that street sort of dictates English to the west and French to the east. And so I grew up in the bilingual context. I don't know if you want to talk about that later, but maybe we'll get to that. So this is it's called Solitudes. Thank you. I'm carrying by broken blue. Help, please. I'm drifting to the nearest fuel, and I hope I'll get there soon.
Now, Patrick, didn't that sound great?
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah, it really sounded good. I loved the sound of his guitar. Talked about that at some point, but, you know, it was really sounding great on stage.
And we didn't record this part, but it was a conversation that, the two of you had mm-hmm. off mic, but one of the guitars he had there was like a real vintage, like 1950s guitar that he yeah, just bought.
That he had just bought.
In New York,
in
I think,
New York.
Right?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really nice guitar.
Really nice, yeah. And he was like still like adjusting to my humidity and the way I play and like new strings, but it was really beautiful.
So we so appreciate this, Matt.
Yeah,
and thanks
Matt.
for doing this and spending time and, mm-hmm. and playing these great songs. And we expect great things from Matt Holubowski, don't we?
Yeah, you know, it's
the big
interesting.
Holubowski.
Yeah, we do. And you know, I knew some folks that were there at the show, and I was talking to him afterwards, one of those being my wife, and, you know, she said something along the lines of, wow, he was like on the Canadian version of The Voice.
That's right.
He was like a, you know, quarter finalist or
that's
something.
Right.
Or something. You know, it was and she was like, that's amazing.
It is amazing, isn't it? I mean, we just heard him talk about that. And but
cool.
Tomorrow we're going to have part two of
yep.
the interview with Matt Holubowski, including... He talked a little bit about his punk rock past.
Yes.
That was really funny.
That was funny.
You're going to like that. And that just kind of came out of nowhere. We didn't know that.
No.
We didn't get that from research. That
no.
just came up on stage.
This may be breaking news. TMZ.
As we were talking. And then also we had a new feature, the bag of questions.
Loved it.
Yeah. So you get to hear that tomorrow. All right. The way you're going to hear the show is listen to it
every day.
Every day.
Single day.
Please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. It's been a while since we've gotten any ratings or reviews, and we would appreciate that, especially mm-hmm. when we're doing something special like this, right?
I know.
We're going extra for the,
yeah,
for the listeners.
That's,
you know,
worth 5 stars.
That's right. And I should also mention you can find Matt Holubowski's music on Apple Music
yeah.
or Spotify or all those places, and you can buy physical product from him at Bandcamp, so
mm-hmm.
go check that out.
I think all you have to do is say, Alexa, Big Holubowski.
That's all
happen.
You have to do.
That's all you have to do.
And also, you can contact us and tell us what you think of Matt's work or
please
anything
do.
Else about music. You can call 612-440-1984. Or email rock@suburbspod.com or find us on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, all those at suburbspod. All right, let's get out of here. Let's do part two tomorrow.
Go.
You ready?
Yep.
It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to you tomorrow. You know, when you were young and a musician, you went on like Solid Gold, right?
That's right. We were on Solid Gold.
Yeah.
Actually, the second to last episode of Hee Haw.